Taylor Swift's new album, The Tortured Poets Department, has released with 31 tracks detailing her many promiscuous relationships and her struggles with Kim Kardashian. But a lot of people are noticing the different swipes that she has taken at Christians once again. And we ask whether this will be the straw that finally breaks the camel's back concerning believers meditating upon music that mocks their faith.
The Good Fight Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And on today's episode, we're going to be reviewing Taylor Swift's new album. And in doing so, we're going to be talking about some of these lyrics and the fact that they not only mock Christians, but you're going to find out they even push witchcraft once again. And to discuss this very important topic is none other than the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel.
Yeah, Chad, I'm ready to get into this, man. I mean, 31 songs, and I've only looked at maybe half the songs or so. And it's just heartbreaking knowing that millions of young people are being fed a steady diet of, you know, promoting just sexual perversity. Let's just get into it. This is just really heartbreaking.
It is heartbreaking. And a sad thing is that SoFi Stadium is not too far from us. And the Eras Tour that recently took place was not too far from us. And there are people right here that we know that are professing believers that also bragged about going and seeing Taylor Swift at her Eras Tour. So it's something that hits close to heart because you have people you care about that are continuing to meditate upon lyrics and songs and stuff that is not only mocking them, but pushing very nefarious things. And Joe, I just want to detail this before we get deep into the album, because this is something that's actually been going on for quite a while with Taylor. In fact, when Roe v. Wade was overturned, she had to tweet Michelle Obama's statement against Roe v. Wade, and in doing so, say it's coming against women's rights and so forth, all the things that we've fought for and all of that. And that's after her saying, I really need to make these statements against these Republicans and so forth, because I'm a Christian from Tennessee.
And it's right and wrong at this point. And I can't see another commercial and see her disguising these policies behind the words Tennessee Christian values. Those aren't Tennessee Christian values. I live in Tennessee. I am Christian. That's not what we stand for. I am Christian. That's not what we stand for.
She claimed to be a Christian. That's why we can hold her to that standard from those things. But then, Joe, she also has songs like on a more recent album where she calls karma a god. And before that, she even had an entire music video with a bunch of trannies kissing and making out and getting married in a trailer park. And of course, what she tries to show, oh, these dumb people in trailer parks can't spell right when they come against homosexuality.
And they're portrayed as Christians, by the way.
Yeah. Of course they are. They're portrayed as Christians. And so this seems to be, as we say, par for the course for Taylor Swift. Now, not only that, Joe, but this new album is called The Tortured Poets Department, which a lot of people are pointing out, and some people are like, oh, it's this boyfriend and stuff. But a lot of it goes with the coming-of-age novel and then film, The Dead Poets Society novel/film, the film starring Robin Williams. And a lot of that's because of her new music video. Fortnite actually has Ethan Hawke and another one of the stars from the film in the music video. So they're like, oh, look, obviously it points back to this. And for those who don't know the film, it's one of those, and it's an entire generation, really, when you look at those late 80s, early 90s films and a lot of the stuff today, where it pushes this idea that the parents really don't know what's best for you. Make sure you put all of the effort into maybe some eccentric teacher that really likes poetry because your dad doesn't really know what's best. And you have somebody take his own life. It gets put on the teacher there. It's his fault for everything. And really, it's the dad's fault because he wanted to push him towards this direction and not acting. And it's this whole idea that we know better, where young people always know better than what their parents might be trying to express to them. And don't get me wrong, there are bad parents that push things on their kids that they should never be pushed. But this has always been, when you look at whether it's the Dead Poets Society or movies like Varsity Blues or whatever, I'm talking about movies that were coming out right before I was born or right after, all of them push the same narrative. The parents are too dumb to know that if I follow my passion, it'll lead me here. And that seems to be the case for Taylor Swift here when it comes to her new album. And Joe, the first song that we can talk about, and something that you noticed and brought out as well, is the fact, and by the way, we've done a number of shows on Taylor Swift regarding this. We have an entire episode from Teenage Sweetheart to Provocative Witch. You can check out. We'll put a link in the description. But Joe, you noticed that she was dressed up at the Grammys, and now that's really come to life in the new music video, and there's even a song titled Clara Bow. So who is Clara Bow? And why is she someone that Taylor Swift, I guess, would have some affinity to, that she would even dress like her to announce that this is the album that's coming out?
Yeah, well, Clara Bow might be considered a, she says in the song Clara Bow, Taylor says she was the it. She was it at the time. And she was one of the few silent actresses that actually, when they was no longer silent films, made it for a while as an actress when, you know, had audio. But she was very promiscuous, and she's identifying with her, by the way. She's identifying with Clara Bow's history. She's saying, hey, Clara Bow was replaced later in the song, she says, by Stevie Nicks, who she says in an interview is an icon. And Stevie Nicks is known as being the main female artist for years during my era. She was known for being a witch. Walsh's Witch Records produced all her albums, Crystal Balls and all the albums. Songs Rihanna about a witch and so forth. She talked about being moved, feeling like she was moved around like a pawn on stage. She was dealing with these seductress spirits and forces, I believe. Same spirits that are using, I believe, Taylor Swift, and brought her rise to fame. And you go way back to Clara Bow. She was very promiscuous, jumped from guy to guy to guy to guy. She had a tortured life, but it was very much self-inflicted, not only because of her promiscuity, but she actually, Chad, you know, ended up getting checked into a mental hospital for a while, was diagnosed with schizophrenia, apparently hearing voices and stuff. It's probably demonic entities that she opened herself up to. That happens in the spirit world when you traffic in demonism. She was very suicidal, ended up leaving her last fling, who I think became her husband for a while. She ended up actually living on a ranch for a while, getting away from it all. But then, you know, things just went haywire because the ultimate answer is found in Christ. So, but it's interesting because of that song, this is what she states.
And that's how we kind of teach women to see themselves, It's like, you could be the new replacement for this woman who's done something great before you. So I picked women who have done great things in the past and have been sort of these archetypes of greatness in the entertainment industry. Clara Bow was the first It Girl. Stevie Nicks is an icon, you know, and a incredible example for anyone who wants to write songs and make music.
She's teaching your children, folks. She's teaching kids, you know, try to be a star like Clara. You know, if you're into singing and or into music, and you know, you could be like, you know, then Stevie replaced her in a way, and then I replaced, and someone's gonna replace me. So she's saying that they're teaching. I think that's important because what are they teaching? Chad, you mentioned the sexual promiscuity in one of the songs called So High School, where she sings about her relationship with Travis Kelsey and so forth, apparently, you know, and she uses, you know, metaphors of touchdowns and winning and bench, those, the bench warmers and so forth. But she sings of, she says, get in my car door. Isn't that sweet? But then she sings the very next line, then pull me into the back seat, which has to do with, obviously, a sex relationship. And what happens, Chad, when hundreds of thousands of young people have sex outside of marriage? They, thousands, tens of thousands, millions, get pregnant. And what happens with millions of these babies? Well, she says she denounced the overthrow of Roe versus Wade because she wants to keep killing babies legal. Then you just kill the baby because after all, it's about being a star. It's about being a Clara Bow. It's like being a Stevie Nicks and being a witch and being your own goddess and having your own power. Like being, guess who, you know, being Taylor Swift, who we showed, and you mentioned the video. You guys want to check that out. If you haven't checked it out, we prove, because some will say, oh, come on, people are saying she's doing witchcraft on stage and stuff. We show from her own words, her own tweets over and over and over again, where she promotes witchcraft. I have no doubt in my mind that she's in touch with these spiritual demonic forces.
And I think it's so important to point this out when we're talking about, hey, this is named after a coming of age, you know, movie and so forth. And then he's talking about that promiscuity and where it ultimately leads to, that this lust bringing forth death ultimately is exactly what James talks about. And you know, the brother of Jesus literally warns about this exact behavior leading to these things. And Joe, I think people don't understand that as they're meditating upon these things. I mean, Psalm chapter 1 is really clear. If you meditate upon God's word day and night, you will be like the tree planted against the water.
That's right.
You bear fruit in its season, and in everything you do, you will prosper. If you do not, you will be like the bark that is blown away when the wind comes. And that is so often we, you know, you see this deconstruction movement, Joe, but for how many songs, how many thousands of hours of meditation on mockery of Christ have happened, and people just sat there, oh yeah, my daughter loves Taylor Swift. This is a sad, sad display, Joe. And one of the things that bothers me, what we've already mentioned so far, should put the hammer to any idea of whether or not Christians should be listening to her. But we're going to get even deeper into some of these new lyrics that mock you beyond a shadow of a doubt. But Joe, it is so sad that we go, oh, why would anyone deconstruct from the faith? Well, I wonder why. Yeah. They meditated far more on Taylor Swift and Miley Cyrus than they ever did the word of God, than they ever did teaching, did they ever did even worship, true worship of God, not some of the nonsense that's out there. And Joe, it is sad. And then I'm listening to this, and in her song, The Prophecy, Joe, it's her down on her knees crying out, apparently to God, about changing the prophecy, right? And obviously, Taylor Swift is famous for her music being about ex-boyfriends, and this album is no different than that. And once again, more ex-boyfriends, one only for 14 days, apparently, more promiscuous escapades talking about, some for Fortnite, longer, yeah, and some currently, right? And you look at those situations, but you have her crying out to God, please change the prophecy, change. Guys, do you not realize that the choices you've made, they have implications on your life? You reap what you sow. So there is a reason that Taylor Swift still writes and sings songs like she is a teenage girl, but yet is in her 30s and has gone through all these guys, and those guys have moved on. Some are married now, and now she is still going about acting like a little teenager and crying out, and ultimately it looks like blaming God for it.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because that song looks like it could be a double entendre, because she doesn't really mention being heartbroken from a past relationship like she typically does and so forth. But what she does seem to be singing about is perhaps sealing her fate, you know, selling her soul. In fact, she mentions that she sealed her fate in the song. And it's as though can she get right again, perhaps? Because she actually, if she's on her knees, Chad, crying out to God, that may be one of the avenues she's seeking to extricate herself from. And by the way, she's made not millions, not hundreds of millions, perhaps definitely hundreds of millions, but maybe over a billion now, they're saying. I mean, it's just crazy. But she's singing about, you know, being on her knees, crying to get out of this prophecy. But what's interesting about the prophecy, or when she's on her knees, we keep listening to the song, she talks about howling like a wolf to the moon, okay? You know, which sounds more like paganism, and especially when you look at the rest of the lyrics. So it's interesting when you look at the lyrics. She talks about hand on the throttle, you know, thought I caught lightning in a bottle, okay? It's interesting. Oh, but it's gone. Again, it was written, I got cursed like Eve got bitten. Oh, was it punishment? So she feels like Eve, who rebelled against God, okay, and then became cursed and needs to be redeemed through Jesus Christ, that she's been cursed after getting, you know, getting some situation where she caught lightning in a bottle. Now, it's interesting because she sings this, cards on the table, mind play out like fools in a fable. Now, when I think of the fool and I think of cards on the table, what are you thinking of, Chad?
Tarot cards.
Tarot cards, man.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't even know if you looked at that lyric, but you know exactly what I'm talking about.
100%.
And she's talking about the cards laid on the table. This would be the prophecy. So it's like an occult prophecy, mm-hmm, you know? Think about that. And the fool is depicted in tarot, which is occult demonic wisdom, as the person, he's depicted as a guy that's ready to go off a cliff. He's the fool. He's in his revelry and his partying like she is, and then he's ready to go off the cliff. And she was right when she said she thinks she's not the right person to have all this power. You know, he's got potentially over $1 billion. So she sings cards on the table, play out like a fool. It was sinking in, slow in the quicksand, poison blood from the wound of the picked hand. I'm like, this is just too obvious. If you could say one or two of these things is a coincidence, but you put, you know, the fool and the cards out on the table together, you have the pricked hand. She sings literally the wound from the pricked hand. According to Raymond Buckland, and he's not a Christian, you know, he's promoting witchcraft, the witch's book, the Encyclopedia of Witchcraft of Wicca and Neo-Paganism, and you can find this in all kinds of sources. Wiccans will prick their hand to release blood. It's the safest way. Crowley used blood sacrifices of male children. He advocated for great power with the demonic realm. Those in Wicca and other witches will sacrifice sometimes. Some are against it. Some will do it. Some will say, okay, they're into blood sacrifice. Some will get it. Female witches will get it from their period sometimes. But a lot of times they feel the safest way is to prick your finger to get a spell done because it binds power and uses the elemental forces, the demons really, to do your bidding more and so forth. So it's interesting when you look at this, and then she sings this, and it's just interesting. Please, I've been on my knees, change the prophecy. Listen to this. Gathered with a coven round a sorceress table. Now, she complains, I get labeled as being this witch and sorcerer. Well, she keeps pushing it in her music. She keeps encouraging the theme of witchcraft in Twitter to all of her millions of young fans. By the way, we, again, our video where we expose her witchcraft, where we even show one of her fans talking about, I'm no longer a Swiftie. Don't call us Swifties, call us witches, you know, because we're following Taylor. It goes on. It gets so crazy. Spending my last coin, she sings, you know. It's kind of like maybe the metaphor for the wishing well and so forth and spending the last cent. And there's more metaphors there because I know we want to get into other things that smack with witchcraft. There's the goddess Diana where she seems to... the crumbling statue, and you have to look at some other things she's done to understand the reference to the goddess Diana and so forth, pagan goddess that was those that worshipped her were worshiping demons, Paul said, and they are opposing the Apostle Paul in the work of the gospel, the book of Acts. But Chad, it looks to me like she's looking to these occult forces, you know, to get this prophecy to change. What prophecy? Well, she talks about being cursed after seeking to get lightning in a bottle and sealing her fate, she says in the song. But she can't find any way out. And it looks if like it's because she's seeking really occult forces and so forth. Not that she's really trying to get out of it. I think there's certain times when she's in her lonesome, she thinks, man, what am I doing? Look at what I'm leading millions of people to. And she went through ridicule and she hates on a lot of people in her music, you know? And I believe a lot of her fans, she feels that they could turn on in a second if she said this or did that. And in humanity and love, I mean, I don't see true Christians don't hate people. We do pray for. We pray for Taylor Swift, these others. Our hearts break. I get tears in my eyes at times when I cry out for people that are lost. Often tears of, I cry for them. We pray for, and we encourage you to pray for her because I believe that they're looking in the wrong places. In fact, God comes down on those who are in Babylon because they will refuse to turn to him to get light. And he basically, God turns around and turns the tables and he trash talks them in a way. He says, hey, go to your sorcerers, see if they're going to deliver you in the end, because she's not going to find deliverance through these forces. And this is why I read, Chad, in Isaiah 47:12, keep on them with your magic spells and with your many sorceries, which you have labored at since childhood. Perhaps you will succeed. Perhaps you will cause terror. All the counsel you have received has only worn you out. Let your astrologers come forward and the stargazers who make proclamations month by month, which is all condemned in the Bible, by the way. Let them save you from what is coming on you. Surely they are like stubble. The fire will burn them up. They cannot even save themselves from the power of the flame. These are not coals for warmth. This is not a fire to sit by. Then it goes on to say, last verse I'll read, that is all they are to you. These you have dealt with or trafficked with, as some translations say, and labored with since childhood. It's talking about trafficking and demonism. All of them go on in their error, and there's no one that can save you. So Taylor needs to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only answer. It reminds me also of Saul rebelling against God, and then he wanted reprieve. And he opened himself up to demonic forces, became possessed, and then he went to the witch of Endor instead of God for deliverance, and he was punished with death. Taylor's only answer is Jesus Christ. If you really care, if you're a Swiftie listening right now, we love you. You can only be saved through Jesus Christ. Taylor can't save you. Even though one of her songs, she talks about a boyfriend and she talks about how people pray to God for that guy. And she says, the Lord, you know, I'm the only one that can save him, not the Lord. He goes, not your Lord. I'm the only one to save him. She's putting herself up as a savior. Guys, that is blasphemous. And she's literally singing, even in this new album, about being, you know, about being a sorceress, or I should say around the sorceress table, being the witch's coven. She's totally encouraging Wicca, which is just growing the fastest religion among many young people today. You need to renounce her if you are claim to be a Christian, and turn from this darkness and protect your kids from it. If you're not a Christian, you need to realize she can't save you. No one's going to save you in a very short time, because life's like a vapor. You're to stand before God. You need to get right with him.
Yeah, it's interesting, Joe, because, you know, you mentioned some of her hatred towards people, and you see, you know, what's going on there in the song. There's two songs specifically that look like they're dedicated to Kim Kardashian and Kanye West, even mocking the fact that Kim Kardashian and their daughters danced together to one of Taylor Swift's songs after, you know, editing videos and stuff to make her look bad. But Joe, it's really interesting, because juxtaposed one to another, there's two different songs, one that talk about, and a lot of times this is something that happens over and over again, is somebody, when they're trying to come against Christianity, will find a fake or a phony, and then they'll say, these are Christians, right? That's one of the most common things. That's one of the most common diatribes that we find. If we're sharing the gospel and stuff on the streets, you might see, oh, what about Joel Osteen? You guys just want money, or something along those lines, right? You're like, give me a break. Or, oh, what about the Catholic Church and all the stuff they did? Well, I don't even attribute anything to that. Those are false teachers. So it's one of those things. So when you're listening as one song, one of the lyrics goes like this, and this is about Kim Kardashian and her family. It says, they all said nothing, blood's thick, but nothing like a payroll. But they never spared a prayer for my soul. You can mark my words that I said it first in a morning warning no one heard. So that's her complaining that no one's praying for her. But here is another song called But Daddy, I Love Him, where she mocks the idea of somebody caring about her or caring about anyone else, and ultimately mocks Christians. Here's what she says, quote, I forget how the West was won. I forget if there was ever fun. I just learned these people only raise you to cage you. Sarah's and Hannah's in their Sunday best, clutching their pearls, sighing, what a mess. I just learned these people try and save you because they hate you. And here are some of the other lyrics. God save the most judgmental creeps who say they want what's best for me. Sanctimoniously performing soliloquies I'll never see, thinking it can change the beat of my heart when he touches me and counteract the chemistry and undo the destiny. You ain't gonna pray for me and my wild boy and all this wild joy. If all you want is gray for me, then it's just white noise and it's just my choice. And Joe, you see that first, oh, they didn't even pray for me, and then mocking people that would, mm-hmm. and so forth. I thought that was really interesting. And Joe, I really want to get to this last song, because I think it's a poignant point on just where this could lead her, and ultimately why she's going to miss out if she doesn't turn from the reality of what we have in Christ. So Joe, I want you to speak to them about this song, Florida, that's also in the album.
Yeah, the song Florida, she's basically singing about escaping and how you get to the point where you want to escape everything, escape your past, escape your crimes. I mean, let me read from her own words. They like try to reinvent themselves, have a new identity, she says. There's a part of you that you think, I want a new name. I want a new life. I don't want anyone to know where I've been or to know me at all. And that's, she's referencing the song Florida. And it's interesting because it kind of is full circle from what we've been dealing with her is deep down she knows. She knows it's wrong. Everybody does. It's wrong to murder babies, you know. It's wrong to encourage young people to be involved in promiscuous sex, which leads to mass abortions. It's an epidemic right now with young people, sexually transmitted diseases, some of which are deadly, like AIDS. She has to know that this is, and that's why she's lashing out against Christians who are warning about, you know, how dare you protect your kids from my music? I want them in my image, you know? It's just a blow mind. But you know what? She can't find salvation in tarot cards. She can't find salvation in a sorceress's table. She can't find salvation in the demonic realm. And she's not going to find even true joy ever in the fame that she has. But she talks about not to pray for her because otherwise you want a life of gray for me, she says. I'll tell you what, man. I've been on the dark side before I was a Christian. I put myself up the demonic realm. I was channeling lyrics and all kinds of stuff. And it was the dark realm. And when I became, I came to Christ, it wasn't a gray realm, man. It's the true realm. Why do you think the rainbow is invented by God, not the LGBTQ movement? They just stole it, guys. God is a God of vibrant color and beauty. He's an infinite being who created the entire universe, and he's filled with love, and he is such an awesome God. He knew we couldn't be saved from our sins and our rebellion that deserved wrath by ourselves or by Taylor as she presents herself as a savior in this new music of hers. But only he could save us, so that's why God became a man. And in the person of Jesus Christ, God bore our sins, the penalty of our sins on the cross, paid for our sins, rose again and conquered death, conquered the devil, conquered sin, conquered hell and everything on the cross so you could have eternal life. So we encourage you right now to embrace Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and turn from this music and renounce this music that glorifies evil. If you're a professing Christian, quit being lukewarm if you're into this stuff, man. Jesus said, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is of the world is lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And he that loves the world will pass away, but he that does the will of God will abide forever. Don't be lukewarm, man. Repent and get away from this music and embrace Jesus Christ fully and wholly.
Amen. God bless you guys.
You've been listening to The Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel and host Chad Davidson discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how they relate to family, culture, and the church. To learn more about Good Fight Ministries, visit us online at goodfight.org. Join our growing social media family and consider partnering with us at patreon.com/goodfight.